shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, and I'm the host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. And this is actually the anniversary of the podcast. So I'm now officially into a second year of this show, and I couldn't be more thrilled, couldn't be more delighted that you all are along for the ride. We spent a lot of time talking about how to do money differently, how to really lean on our soul money relationship so that we are creating prosperity consciously instead of doing it through our money pain, our wounds, and all of that old junk that does tend to get in the way sometimes. And most of the time when I'm talking on the podcast, we are reaching for that conscious connection, reaching for something that is going to create some sort of tool that's going to bring us more into consciousness. But I think we do tend to skip over the pain part, right? It's easy. We'd rather skip over the pain. Let's just get conscious. Let's not deal with it. And there are a lot of ways that that's a good thing. We don't need to rummage around in the past and the trash and all of that. But with money, the wounds can go deep. They can create trauma in our body, and we can accidentally end up creating out of those wounds when we think that we're creating consciously. So it's really, really, really worth the conversation. And I have two amazing women here to have a conversation with today. They've both been on the podcast previously, but we are going to do this as a trio today, and I can't wait to see what comes out of it. So let me quickly introduce you to both of my guests. We start with Dr. Monique Hunt, who is a spiritual teacher. She's the founder of the Ancestor Wisdom School. She's a master ancestral storytelling practitioner, which I just love. So really, she's using the story of your life and along with ancestral guidance to help create success. And then, of course, Jennifer Arizio, who is a master intuitive and the founder of Soul Language. And we spent a lot of time on this program talking about soul language. And it's the reason to do that is because it is a tangible tool, right? It's a way to really tangibly connect with your soul and to get really clear answers. And all of this wisdom here is going to be really important today. So welcome, ladies. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
I'm
happy to be here. Yeah. Both of you.
Yeah. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. All right. So, you know, this conversation is actually in advance of a course that we're teaching. So for those of you who are listening, if the information, if the tips and the tools and everything that we provide today is intriguing, I'm going to invite you to take a look at that course. Starts January 11th, and we'll be going a lot deeper into what we're talking about today. But let's start talking around the area of money trauma, because I think people kind of have an idea. We've all had experiences with things that are traumatic around money, but what does money trauma mean to each of you? JU, why don't we start up here and then we'll go forward.
Well, I was thinking, Jennifer asked me what money trauma would be. What would I say? And, you know, the image came to mind of, you know, you get in your car and you're going to the dog park for me. And then you're tootling along and all of a sudden you look up and you're at the supermarket. And you just kind of went to the supermarket without even consciously knowing that you were doing that. And money trauma is like that. It tends to be really sneaky, really hidden. And you are creating based on some previous experience that has left a muscle memory in you so deep that you're even not even aware that you're creating from that experience. And I think that when we have trauma in our body, we set up so many other little hidden belief systems to kind of keep us in that illusion of safety. And as you would say, it creates a lot of pre-suffering. So trauma, money trauma is like that to me. It's like, wait, what just happened? Like, why am I at the grocery store when I'm supposed to go to the dog park?
Right. Why do I now have $100 in my bank account when just yesterday there was 800, right? It's just sort of that blind, like not having any sort of clue, right? It's like, it's like something is evaporating. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And for me, how I deal with that on a money thing is what I've noticed, and it's tamed down, but what I've noticed is I'll get a large chunk of money and then I'll like have to spend it. Because God forbid it's taken away. So I need to pay every bill I have and, you know, get all the little treats I want and get it out before it vanishes it by itself. And so it vanishes because I'm allowing it to.
Yeah, absolutely. Monique, what would you add?
So I would add the ancestral piece, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we have in our lineage a history of struggle financially, if we have a history of poverty, if we have a history of money loss, then that shows up in how we function around money in our own lives. So if your ancestors, let's say your ancestors were extremely wealthy, and then suddenly there was a huge loss, and maybe the loss of land, the loss of a business, the loss of a lifestyle, maybe even loss of a loved one that was the money earner in the family, then suddenly you have embedded in your DNA this history of loss around money. And so sometimes the way that shows up is we will either hoard money and hold on to it. And we know that money is supposed to flow. It flows in, it flows out, it flows in, it flows out. So we'll hoard money, or we are so afraid that there won't be enough that we start buying everything that we need, like hoarding toilet paper.
Oh, yes. Ah, the story of 2020.
You know, and so we start buying up everything that we need. And I think the way it has shown up for me is, although there's always been enough, there's always been this feeling that there won't be enough. And that there will always be this little bit of struggle. And when I look back over my family lineage and really think about my ancestors, you know, there was always some struggle around money. I mean, if we even looked at enslaved people and how they weren't paid, and, you know, and that created some poverty stories as well. So I look back over my lineage and there's always been this struggle, and I decided that I would stop that for my generation and future generations. But for me, that's how it showed up, you know, always calculating and making sure that there was going to be enough. And there always is. There always is enough. It always seems to flow and come in some form or fashion. There's always enough.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, as you're talking about the ancestral stories and thinking about trauma in general, I think, okay, so that's why I can have an experience, which, you know, if I'm just telling the story, I'm thinking, why does this hurt so much? Or why is this knocking me out so much? Why is this knocking me flat for a week or two when it's just, you know, all I did was miss a bill payment accidentally, right? You know, there's enough money to pay it. And I just, for whatever reason, the 20th came and went and it just was gone. But when we have that muscle memory, right, JU, as you were talking about, or we have these, well, muscle memory from ancestral times, then we're experiencing this greater signs and symptoms in our own body, right? We get the anxiety and the fear and the worry and the panic when what's happening in the present moment doesn't really seem to add up, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I can even think of a more recent example where I have a reoccurring order for a product that I use, but I needed to push the date back and I forgot. And so the order was shipped And I went through this, like you were saying, forgot to pay the bill, but I went through this, oh, I can't believe I did that. I don't need it now. I'm putting money in a place that doesn't need to go to right now. And then I stopped and I went, okay, what is the real story behind this? Right? And I thought, you know what? I'll use the product. I will use it. It will get used. It's not going to waste. And it may not have been in the timing that I had planned, but I need to release whatever stories, whether they're my stories or they're my ancestral stories, which are usually both, right? I need to begin to release this story. And how is this showing up? And how is the ancestral story creeping up?
Right. And what you said is really important, because not only do we have this external trauma, right? Something happens and we you know, it happens and we have the impact of it. But then there's the story that we're telling ourselves about it. And so then we have this secondary trauma where we're beating ourselves up around it. Hey, you know, that's it. That's a habit that I really would like to release this year. You know, I or continue to release. And I've gotten better about it over the years. But when we get into that space of, well, that was a stupid thing to do, or why did I do that? And why am I wasting this? And why can't I figure this out? And I teach this stuff and blah, blah, blah. That creates a secondary trauma, which then keeps the whole pattern in place, yeah. Right? It's sort of that chain of pain, right, J.U.?
Yeah, it's you know, it's judgment trauma, right? Like, so you set yourself up on this kind of circle of, you know, beating yourself up, but you're really not, like, it's almost like you're taking the blame for every bad decision in that moment. Not just for you, but ancestral. So it becomes this kind of loop that you can't seem to get out of. And I think that is the body just kind of reliving that trauma. And once if your body doesn't have a pause, right, it will just keep playing the loop again and again and again. And I think judgment trauma is so easy to go into because we're taught it from an early age. Instead of discerning, we're taught judgment. And I think that tends to be an easy loop that people go into trying to fix the problem, fix in quotes, everyone. But it's really like you're judging yourself. So there is no consciousness of the solution in that paradigm. It just becomes this, okay, let me play this time and time again and judge myself so I can try to work my way out of this loop. But in reality, you're still in the loop. It's like some weird science fiction game.
Right. And we don't realize we're playing it. And there's no reason to have to play it. Right. There are ways that we can get ourselves out of the loop. Yeah. So let's start going there. So if people are recognizing, okay, I'm in this loop, there are things that are happening that are coming out of perhaps some old stories. What's the first step to getting out of that?
Yeah, I think you have to actually bring in the body. I think, you know, people go into, you know, it's almost like they're trying to get out of their skin in it. And that just creates this more fear and more patterns. So what I've done is I've noticed, okay, I'm hitting that trauma situation. And I really start to focus on feeling safe in my body. Okay, so let's activate safety in my feet. Let's activate it. And I go all the way up. And it kind of looks like, when I do it, it kind of looks like that champagne kind of bubbly sensation. So I go up all the way up to safety and I start to notice, like, okay, let's calm the body down so we can reconnect and we can create something new. So that's the first thing I do, is I bring the body into that experience and work with safety in the body first.
Yeah, that's absolutely an important component, because if we leave the body out, you're just going to keep getting those signs and signals of the trauma over and over again, even if you're working hard to disconnect the story, right? And you know that the body's involved if you're noticing things like your stomach getting in a knot when you sit down to have a money conversation, any money conversation, even if there's plenty of money, or you notice your heart starting to flutter a little bit, or tightness in your chest, or any sort of fear or anxiety. Money,
or the thing in the throat where you feel like you're going to cry and you're not there, but you feel like It's like that feeling.
Yeah, I think we get so used to that feeling around money that we don't even notice that it's coming up, right? It's just, oh, money, ick. And so bringing in that body, bringing in safety, I would say being able to sit down even with your bills and just breathe. Notice what you're feeling and bring yourself into that feeling of safety, bringing yourself into that feeling of even neutrality in the moment. Monique, what would you add?
Well, one of the things that I would add is we're definitely not only talking about a lack of money, but those same experiences can happen for someone who has a flow of money. You know, we can still go into that trauma. We can still have the piece in the throat that's going on, even when there's enough, yeah. Right? Even when the money is flowing and we're sitting down with the bills and doing the bills, you know, we see it going out and we can have that same trauma feeling, the same response. And so what I would add to, you know, really going into your body is also taking a moment to think about what is the history in my family around money? And am I just replaying the experiences of not only my ancestors, but maybe, you know, your parents, your aunts and uncles, your grandparents, who all may still be alive? What is their story around money? And are you reliving their story? And if you're reliving their story, you're reliving the positive aspects of their story, or are you dwindling in the disempowering aspects of their story? Yeah. And so beginning to really look at that and understand that and really look at how you want to shift and change that is a powerful place to start as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think curiosity is really important here. And I think that so often around money, we get into this place of, you know, even when there is plenty, right? There's still that sense of, I have to do something about it. I have to make this better. I have to make this work. I need to be better. I need to do better. And if we can just take that and pause it and say, thank you. You know, I you came from somewhere. I appreciate you're trying to help me stay safe here, but I'm just really more interested in being curious. I want to be curious. What's going on in my background? What's going on in the ancestral background? And let those come to the surface, because we can't change anything if we're not aware of it. Right.
Yeah. And I also think that we get to be aware of the extensions of money. So I'll give you a tangible explanation. So I tell this story a lot. My grandmother grew up in the Depression, and when she died, she had a closet full of canned peaches, almost all of them ready to explode. So wow. She would go to the grocery store every week and get canned peaches and tuck them away. And here's the funny thing, they never ate a canned peach in that house. We never ate them. And I think that's an extension of that trauma around money and how it shows up. And I think so often people go, oh, I don't have any trauma around money. And their trauma is showing up about how they're utilizing money and what they're kind of deciding where their money goes and how to purchase it, right? So for me, I don't mind spending $40, dropping $40 on a dog anytime, right? But with myself to drop $40, which is nothing, I him and ha. So what's that trauma like? Like, where is that trauma around money coming and me choosing how I spend money or how I don't spend money and who I spend money on and what's important to me? And I think those are the sneaky veins of trauma.
Yeah, that's really well said. As you tell that story, I think about a client of mine. This was many years ago, working when I was working more in the fertility world, and she needed a relatively expensive procedure, and she just hemmed and hawed, and just it was, you know, we just don't have the money, and with some very gentle questioning at that time, she's like, well, you know, my husband likes to pay cash for everything. We pay cash for our house. We paid cash for our car. We pay cash for everything. And, you know, that's, she did happen to be outside of the United States. And I think here in the States, we're much more likely to say, fine, we'll put some things on credit. But we get to get really curious about those extended stories. Like, why? What is it? How am I using this to stay safe? Because really with money, we're really looking at that pattern of safety, right? We think that money, how much money we have in the account or what we can access is what our safety is.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So as we're activating safety and we're getting curious, what's the next step?
For me, I think it's about creating, and I think we're also going to do this in our classes, is about creating lab experiments, right? I think so often we are trying to change our relationship with money, and we don't bring, as you say, that curiosity, that wonder in. And, you know, we're trying to change that relationship with money in situations where we're already tense, right? So, you know, I always start small. So one of the things that I did, and I do, is all of my income I have, I take 10% off that income and I put it into the Gen Fund. I don't know what the Gen Fund is for. Maybe it might be for a trip when we travel. Maybe I'll blow it on all on shoes. I don't care. But it's also about me understanding that my money is also for me and not just to pay all the bills. So I create these little lab experiments where I can push my boundaries and I can release the trauma in the actual experiment of it. And it's a situation where it's not gonna cause extra tension. So it's not like, oh, I'll skip a bill kind of thing. So that's what I would say the next step is, some little lab experiments.
Right. Allow some expansion to come in, some new ideas, right? To be able to say, okay, these were the old stories. Who do I really want to be with money, right? As I let go of the trauma, who do I really want to be? How do I want to be? How do I want money to serve me? And when you start being able to ask those questions and you realize you can ask those questions, because I'm not sure we all realize we get to ask those questions, right? We think money's in charge. There's so many cultural things out there to say money is the one with the power. And we're all behind the scenes doing all these gymnastics to try to do something so that money will favor us and or the divine will favor us. And that's just not really how it works, right? So if we get into that place of expansion and ask those bigger questions, we can begin to move out of that trauma. Yeah. Monique, what do you think about that place of expansion?
And for me, that place of expansion comes from asking myself, what is it that I want with this money? You know, why do I want it? What is the reason for it? What is the purpose behind it? How will it serve me and how will it serve others? And really taking a look at, you know, when I look at money from the bigger picture of what I would like to do with it and how I would like to support others as well as myself, then I find that it opens up and it flows in. And that I start to not have as much trauma around spending it and around receiving it, because that's the other part, right?
Right.
Sometimes we have some trauma around receiving it. And so I find that it begins to become more peaceful when I really focus on what is it that I want with this? Not just want money, but what do I want to do with it? Do I want to help someone else? Do I want to donate it? Do I want to go out and buy shoes like Jennifer said? I'm a shoe fanatic. Do I want to go on vacation? Do I want to take other people with me on vacation? What is it that this money represents? Not just filling up the bank account, not just keeping it for myself, but what is the bigger picture? What is the bigger picture? What is it that I want? And I find that when I do that, it comes from a place of love, and I begin to love that flow in and out. The other piece that I look at too is blessing the money. Any money that I get, I say a blessing over it. Whether it's in my bank account or in my hand, I say a blessing over it. And I ask that money not only bless me, but bless anyone who touches it, anyone who receives it, anyone who needs it, that this money be a blessing and it energize them in some way and helps them fulfill their goals and their needs and their desires and their wants. And when I do that, I find it takes some of the struggle out for me, and it takes some of the feeling of lack or not having enough to cover this or cover that when, like I said, I always do, but that comes up.
Right, right. Well, you're really changing the purpose of money, right? So we talk a lot about how we accidentally use money to fill holes in ourselves, right? Our enoughness, our worthiness, our deservability, even just be on this planet. And so when we view money in that way, yeah, of course we're going to hold on to it really hard. Of course we're going to beat ourselves up when we think we don't have enough. But when we can really remember that that's not money's job, it was never money's job. We thought it was money's job, and maybe even we had a family story around that, or we've had a time in our life when it really looked like it was about our worth or our deserving. But as soon as you realize that money is something to play with, and it's at its base, it carries a lot of joy and a lot of love, right? Now we get to, we're completely out of the trauma field, right? And we get to do things in a brand new way. Yeah.
I think it's also important about consistency. I think trauma is so consistent, you know, and as Monique was talking, I was like, oh, I haven't been doing arigato money, which is the Japanese way of appreciating money, because I love to say arigato money, right? I'm like, oh, you know, trauma is consistent. And I think you get to be consistent with your new relationship with money. And that will also help release the trauma around your money relationship.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yes.
Yeah. And especially since trauma tends to make us want to do this. Yeah. Right? We want to hide from it. We want to not look at it. We want to avoid it. And again, those are all signs and symptoms that you're working out of some sort of a money pain or money wound. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So as you get into the regular daily habits, and we've got to treat it like a relationship. Right? You can't do this when you're in relationship with your partner or your best friend or your mother or even your boss, right? You really need to show up for it in a regular way so that it understands. And again, I'm sort of anthropomorphizing money. Money has no free will. It's going to follow whatever we do. But at the same time, we have to show up, right? And so when we don't show up, it's not going to, that's what's going to get reflected back to us, right? Yeah, yeah. Okay, so as in just a few moments, we're going to go into break. But I'm curious, before we do that, what do you think is a good question that people can start to ask themselves, even when they're in the midst of trauma? What's a really good question to start to shift out of the trauma? And then we'll talk about what that means on the other side of the break.
For me, I think the question that I always ask is, am I operating from pain or consciousness? And that usually goes, oh, wait, I'm operating from pain. And that allows me just to, you know, it jolts my system. So that's the question I use.
Beautiful.
And mine would be, is this my story? Or is this a story that has been passed down from generations?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And mine, which is in the vein of pain or consciousness, is, am I in the energy of the problem or the solution? Right? Because we tend to operate in the problem and thinking that we are in the solution, but that's not how that works. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I think you need a number of questions that are saying the same thing, so you can outsmart yourself.
Right, because, and this is something I want to talk about on the other side too, is when you're in that pain place, it's hard to ask that question about consciousness. It's hard to have enough connection to be able to see outside of yourself, or at least that's my story. So I want to hear more about that. All right. So I tell you what, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break? You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio. And when we come back, my guests and I are going to talk about these questions, pose a few more questions, and then and ask the question, what do we do when we're in pain? All right. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you feel that you must stand alone in this life? Listen deeply, beloved soul. You are not alone. Laura Hosford offers you authentic channeled messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace to guide you forward in transcending your consciousness and becoming the change you wish to see in the world. Want to get involved? Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group and get some goddess energy in your life. Women supporting women, emotional and spiritual growth. What's not to love? Just search for Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook and join Laura's growing community of women who are finding that divine love has lived within them all along. Share your stories, your challenges, offer your insights, celebrate spiritual growth. Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group today.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404, or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
When was the last time you had that feeling that you knew something, but you couldn't explain how you knew it? How powerful would it be for your life and business if you could consciously tap into that magic within you? What if you could remember that there's something supernatural about you? Tune in to Absolute Alignment with Christelle Biga when success feels easy. Every first and third Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hello, I'm Carrie Kadambi, and this is your Spirited Exchange Moment. Do you want to be the best you can be? Do you want to live your dream life? Anything is possible when you choose to consciously evolve. Begin by noticing your reaction to things in your everyday life. When a reaction is uncomfortable, this is a sign that there's an inner root cause that has triggered you and is calling out to be healed. Take action to transform and heal those limiting beliefs or trauma experiences that no longer serve you. Take time daily to recognize your reactions and then set out to heal and release them using one of many somatic healing modalities available. How will you choose to evolve today? Join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Welcome back. We're here on Soul Wisdom Abundance with myself, Jennifer Bloom, and my two guests, Jennifer Rizzio and Monique Hunt. And I tell you what, ladies, before we jump back into anything, we are going to talk about the course that the three of us are doing together, but I also want people to know where they can find you so that they can learn more about soul language, learn more about ancestral story clearing, and learning about how they can tap the wisdom of the ancestors. So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
I'll go first.
Go ahead. I should call on somebody.
We're both so polite that we're just
gonna sit here.
You can find out more about me, Jennifer Rizzio, at soullanguage.us. There's some groovy audios, and there's a kind of free newsletter that you can sign up with, and I answer my own email and I pick up my own phone. So soullanguage.us.
Super. Monique?
Mine is drmonique.com. You can reach me there. And like Jennifer, I have some goodies there as well. There is a guide to connecting with your ancestors and some meditation audios to help you with that connection. And so you can go there, and I do the same that Jennifer does. I answer my email, I answer my own phone. You can connect with me, we can talk, and you can connect with me on Facebook as well.
Fantastic. Yes. And I'm going to encourage any of you listening to check out these women. They are powerhouses and have so many things available to help you on your path to living consciously and living, which I think means living with more joy and ease, right? So, all right. So back to the topic of money and money trauma. We were, before the break, we were talking about questions that we can ask ourselves as we're getting curious about what's going on, ways to get out of the pain and more into that conscious connection. So the question I have about your question, Chehu, is, you know, when we're in the middle of pain and we are so disconnected. And again, I think money does this to us. And I think people are unaware of how disconnected we get when we're dealing with money. Again, whether it's lack, whether it's more than enough, wherever we are. So what is the first thing that you would say to somebody about how to clear the pain enough to be able to even ask a question like, am I in pain or am I in consciousness?
Well, according to Psychology Today, you know, people with trauma are continuously ready for the attack, whether real or imaginary, right? And so, in fact, people are living with money trauma and they're not even having a reaction. They're just waiting. So, you know, I think the first thing that people need to do to kind of stop the trauma cycle is I would activate safety in the body. And I would use their body's lack of free will to do it. And so we call that divine intelligence. So I would say, divine intelligence, fill me with the feeling and knowing that I'm safe. And if it's real trauma, like you can't even get there, I would go, okay, divine intelligence, fill me with the feeling and knowing of the willingness to know I'm safe. And all you need is just a little tiny interruption, a blip, so you can pause long enough to start asking questions. So that's the first thing I would tell people do to kind of really activate that safety, so you're stopping the actual physical sensations that are going on in your body, because that's extremely important first before you can ask any question.
Absolutely. And for me, if I get to that point, if I'm stuck in a story, I get outside. I get out into nature. I walk, I breathe. That helps take me enough out of the story to begin to approach it like from the side. I mean, if I can't do it head on, right, I'm in it. And I know I'm in it when I don't feel good. I've practiced connection enough that I know there's part of me knows that when I don't feel good, that I'm disconnected.
Yeah.
So, right. And if I can't ask the question in the moment, get to the outside of it, get outside, get into nature and sort of come at it. Like take one of those little, like, I'm seeing a cabbage, which is kind of weird, right? But like those outer leaves that you don't want to eat, right? So if you can just kind of get in there, then you can get down into that core, right?
Yeah. And that's also about doing something different. So a couple, like 10 years ago, I said that, okay, every time I bake, I'm going to make money. And I baked a lot that winter and I made a lot of money. So, you know, if I'm really in that fear cycle and I can't get out into nature, I do something totally different. Like I give my mind something to engage. So whether it's baking or craft or reading or whatever, so it can all settle down and reset. Because sometimes there's no way I'm going to be able to get out in nature, right? So just do something different.
That's funny that you say that. And Monique, I'm going to ask you a question here in a second. But that reminds me that, so this was a number of years ago, when I started doing fertility meditation recordings, and they were literally on tapes, you guys. They weren't even on CDs. And I had a woman here who was helping me ship them out. And, you know, every so often I'd get myself in a grumpy space and I'd go take a nap. And I'd come back and darn if she didn't tell me, you need to go back and take another nap. Because as soon as I would leave the office, that's when we would get a whole batch of orders. You know, where he was like, just get out. So sometimes it's literally as easy as changing what you're doing, changing the energy, changing the story of things. Monique, what do you think about that space of being able to get out of the pain long enough to ask a really good question?
I think that is definitely a really big step, is to come out of that pain, is to do nature, cook, if that's what, you know, crafts, anything that pulls you away from it for a moment. I love what Jennifer said about baking.
Yeah.
And, you know, associating baking with the money coming in. And I remember I had a client who was struggling financially and, you know, struggle around money can show up in many ways. And one was in her relationships. And the ancestors telling her to make soup. And invite people over for soup. And as she made these soups, and some of them were her ancestors' soups, she made these soups and she invited people over. And of course, people are sitting around having soup and they're having conversation. And as they're having conversation, what she's realizing is there's another way to approach the challenge that she's experiencing. So doing something outside of what we're doing when we're in that money struggle really does help. And it just completely shifted and changed her whole situation after that. Her whole relationship with money shifted. Her relationship with her partner changed. The way money was flowing in changed for her. The struggle that she had changed. And one of the other questions that I always had her think about as she was going through this is this her story or is this the ancestor's story?
Yeah.
And has this been her experience or was this her parents' experience? Was it her grandparents' experience? And really understanding where the difference was. And what she discovered is all of what she was thinking was not her experience, it was actually the experiences of her family members and her ancestors. And by baking and making these soups, she was able to really do some different thinking and to ask these questions of herself.
Beautiful. Yeah, and something that we wouldn't even ever think of, or at least that's not having, I do think about it more now that I know you, but before I met you, right, that wouldn't have been something that would have ever crossed my mind, right? So, and I think what that highlights is, as much as all of us like to be of service, as much as all of us here like to give information, there are times when you need outside help, right? We each reach for our own outside help, and the three of us have come together to create some outside help for people who are recognizing, hey, I think I'm dealing with some trauma here. So J.U., do you want to share a little bit about the course that we have coming up in January?
Yeah, I'd love to. And remember, when you have a trauma experience, the natural survival instinct is to go very, very small and almost disappear in that area. So that's actually what's happening. You're trying to disappear around money. So the first of our 3-week series, the first week we're going to be exploring the trauma. There's two different types of trauma. There's the actual trauma. Well, there's three actually. The actual trauma, the judgment of trauma, and then ancestral trauma. So we're going to be talking about that and about ways to release it. Week two is we've got a clean slate. We're going to start changing that relationship between you and money. And then third week is all about ancestral and karma and money trauma, and really getting into that and really understanding how the ancestors can support us and some ancestral stories and really kicking up the dust there. So that trauma is also released. And we're asking, we're actually turning to the ancestors for support rather than for us to be hindrance around money. It starts January 11th and it goes to February 1st and it's at noon on the West Coast, 1 o'clock Mountain Time, 2 o'clock Central and 3 p.m. Eastern. And it's done by Zoom. And it's a 70 minute and all of the classes are recorded. And the investment is $250, which is a steal.
Yeah. Well, it is. And I think that, you know, if you haven't ever taken a course, JU and I have taught before together. JU, I believe you and Monique have taught together before. So if nobody's experienced any of ours, these are experiential classes. This is not where we sit and talk at you for 70 minutes. Nobody needs that. But really what our goal is for you to walk away with not only new understanding about the trauma that you are holding on to. Not only are we walking away with clearing out some of that trauma, but also tools that you can put in your toolbox for when it happens again, because it's going to happen again. You know what? Money trauma comes up, and if you know, wouldn't it be amazing to be able to just identify it in the moment, move through it, and not have to have it become this great big thing that you pass along to your own children, pass along to your, you know, nieces and nephews, pass along to, right, that next generation. I think it would just, we live in a world right now where money is this really weird resource. And it's one of my missions to be able to clean that up. If all of us can know how to have this really clear connection with our own money relationship, the world changes. If I don't have to rely, and it's not about not relying on other people, but if I know that I am my own renewable source of resources, the world opens up in a brand new way. Yeah. All right. So I know I'm really looking forward to the course and the interactiveness of it. Monique, anything else you'd like to share about the course coming up?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I definitely want to share is that not only have we come together to support other people with their money trauma and healing that and being able to recognize it, we've supported each other. So much of what we will be sharing is what we have also done with each other from time to time. And that's why we know that it works.
Yeah.
Because we helped each other with it. And so we know this works because we've been able to support each other with the different ways that we approach money trauma and healing. And so, yes, as we are doing this, as you mentioned, Jennifer, that we will not just be talking at you, but we actually will be giving you tools and resources and practices that you can put into place. And I know the ancestors always share spiritual practices that will support you with healing this trauma or any trauma and wounds that you may have. And so I know that they'll be sharing some really rich, like making soups in the kitchen, right?
Well, I know the last time I talked to you about ancestors, it was about making brownies. Yes. and adding in a little liqueur because I had an ancestor. There was a particular liqueur that my ancestor liked. I mean, okay, hey, you know, how often do you get that as a, you know, right. There's lovely side effects of the things that come out of this. I think it's... Right, it doesn't have to be painful, and I guess that's the other thing I want to say about this. It's not 3 weeks of doom and gloom and pain. Really, this is expansion, and I think that's one of the most important things to think about is to come into that course being excited about how we can let go of old roots. You know, back to I've got veggies on the brain. I don't know why, right? But you know, clearing out all those extraneous roots that come, you know, if you're to pull a plant out of the ground and just really begin to enjoy, right, that the vegetable itself.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good point that, you know, this isn't just about ripping open wounds. This is really about just having some fun around discovering new ways of looking at this trauma and new ways of building this relationship, this powerful, positive relationship with money. So we are going to have some fun.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Okay, fantastic. So if you are curious about the course, you can take a look in the show notes. I've got the, I have the link there. JU, do you want to give it to them too, just in case? I'll put your glasses back on.
It's get ready, people, to write some long day here. It's soullanguage.us/release-your-money-your-trauma-your-two-create-faith-and-prosperity/. That was trauma just saying the lake.
Yes. So look in the show notes.
Yeah.
look in the show notes. We don't need to create any more pain and suffering around trying to find a link. But it's on, it is on the Soul Language website, and I'll post it in Facebook on Soul Abundance page, and there are a lot of places you can find it. So ladies, we have about 4 minutes or so left. So as we start to wrap up, what's one thing that you would like people to walk away from this conversation remembering?
That they don't have to live with the trauma, that the trauma is not who they are, that it is movable and shakable, and that money is this resource from source, and it's fun and it's enjoyable, and you get to kind of lead the show.
Beautiful, beautiful. Monique?
And I would say money, you know, as she said, it's a resource, it's energy, it is something that is supposed to flow, and that we all can have it, you know, and we can all have a very positive relationship with it. And whatever work we do now to improve that relationship, it will help current and future generations also have a better money relationship. And so that's another reason to do this work, not just for ourselves, but to help our family members as well.
Right. And it also goes backwards too, doesn't it, Monique?
Yes.
As we heal, we provide healing to the ancestors too, which blows my mind in many really good ways. But, you know, we can have so much impact just by doing work on ourselves.
Right. It heals the ancestors, and then it helps the ancestors be a source of guidance and support for us and open doors where doors may seem to be closed, and fill bank accounts where bank accounts may feel like they're empty. Give us resources and opportunities and, you know, creative ideas. So as we heal this money story, these money stories, we actually can invoke the guidance from the ancestors as well.
Yeah.
Full circle and then back again, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And I, the thing that I would say is that you are in relationship with money, and just like any other good relationship, you get to negotiate, right? You get to negotiate how you want that relationship to be. And we can't walk away from money, because we still live on a planet where we need a roof over our heads and food in our bellies. And at this point, we trade money for that.
Right.
But maybe that's a good thing, right? Money is such an amazing teacher. And as we learn how to shift our relationship here, we get to change our relationships within so many other places and so many other ways. And we're really practicing our relationship with the divine. And once we do that, we open up the doors to all kinds of goodness. So there's a lot that can come out of no longer sitting in your trauma. And so I am excited to do this course with you all, and I would love to hear back. If any of you who are listening have questions, please, you're more than welcome to reach out to me. You can head on over to Facebook. I've got a page at Soul Abundance. Would love to hear what you're thinking about, and there's always conversation going on over there about the money relationship. All right, well, we've done it again. We've come to the end of Soul Wisdom Abundance. I am again thrilled that you have chosen to spend your time here, and you can find Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio on the first and the third Fridays of every month. And in the next episode, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Barbara Husan, who has all kinds of amazing things to say about rewiring the brain for success. So that should be a really interesting conversation. So until then, everyone, I wish each and every one of you prosperous blessings, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.